talked about that a little bit.
No, I was going to drop this off at the meeting. I forgot. Why should I do?
All right, the clock on the wall says 5:30. This is the time and place of the CUNA City Board of Correction meeting. And we get to listen to Mr. Borzik and give us all kinds of updates on our awesome system. I will tell you that NAMPA meets a lot trying to figure out a way to get to the level of service that CUNA is. So very proud of that, and we've all worked really hard to get in that system up, and it improves every year. So Mr. Borzik, if you would go ahead and give us that update.
Thank you, sir. This is my annual visit. I don't like coming in here too often. So this is all you get to see of me this year. I generally skip some of this purpose of the Board of Correction. Do we need to go through that?
Yeah, let me make one more thing that I forgot to do. Just for the record, let the record show that all council members and mayor are present. You may go ahead and do what you like there.
Thank you, sir. Let's just jump into the fun stuff. I guess the water balance, what everybody's concerned about, right? I know that's where I hang a lot of time on. this last year, when you start looking at the comparisons in the years here, we have to remember we shut off September 29th instead of October 15th. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy in the data there. It's not good or bad. It's just we're missing 2.5 weeks of water delivery. And again, that wasn't us, the city of CUNA, shutting off. That was the Boise Project, Bureau of Rec, telling no more water, deliveries are done. So having said that, if we look at the table there, I should have numbered it, under our water supply balance, last year we pumped 1.5 billion gallons of water. This year, same ballpark, even though we added a little bit more ground. A slight increase as well on the potable water side. When we first started this and really started looking into this for the new members of the council, that potable water used to bounce around between 500 and 600 million gallons. And if back in the day, I think we used to charge about $1 a thousand gallons for the, you know, for just end users. So you start looking at that, we're talking there's big savings and big dollar amounts there. The canal water we actually delivered was 2.043 last year, or the year before, and this last year, 1.955 billion gallons. Again, we're missing almost 3 weeks of water delivery. When we get into wasted water here, we have an efficient system. We will always have waste until we really get regulated with water police, where we're not. Water isn't running into gutters. Water isn't running into sidewalks. Sprinklers aren't broken and spraying 30 gallons a minute, you know, in the middle of the night. We have to get people to water evenly throughout the day and evenly throughout the week. Not everybody can water at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We need users to use water at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Just as much we need them on Sunday and these off-peak times. That's the only way we're going to really start getting our waste off that 20 to 25% margin, is getting a better use across the board. Having said that, we did really good with our delivery of water. We carried over, and again, this is a term that not everybody understands, so I'm going to jump down to the carryover definition. The carryover for Anderson, the limit for each user for each season is set to 1.5 acre feet per acre. If the reservoir fills in the current season, each user gets their full Anderson allotment or water allotment, whatever it's set for that year. If the reservoir does not fill, each user only gets their carryover from the previous year. The amount of unused Anderson water from the previous season As of 3/1/23, Anderson Reservoir's at 74%, so I feel like it will fill up. For some weird reason, it does not fill up. If we look at our carryover from last year, we have 3,683.77 acre feet of carryover. That'll last us 4.5 months. That would, if we didn't really start till early May, that would get us middle of September. So even with the way the guys ran the system this year, we would have a pretty good irrigation season if that reservoir doesn't fill up. Last year we had 7,879 PI connections, 11% increase over the year before. We delivered 6.1 acre feet per connection. This last year and the year before that was 0.73. So the use is getting better. I think there's some things you could probably contribute to, a little smaller lots and a few other things, but the use is getting better. With 0.15 feet wasted in 22, again, better than 0.24 the year prior. Irrigatable lands in each district. You can see my tallies there. We still don't have a point of delivery in the Napa Irrigation District. We are working on that this year if Grand Prado 4 can get online. Currently, we have 3,194.64 acres in our district, our CUNA Municipal Irrigation System, an increase of 155 acres. I print off the roll for the city clerk to sign and put in her office for another year. If anybody wants to peruse it, I can send you a digital copy. It's 191 pages this year, 196 pages this year. It's good reading. And other than that, I will stand for questions, comments, or...
Okay, any questions for Mike?
Yes, Mike, have you heard of legislation coming down the pipe from the irrigation districts wanting cities to cut back the amount they get? This stems from a conversation I had that a board member from the big board that oversees all of these districts, they were talking about trying to enact legislation to cut the city's amount of water allotment back. Have you heard of anything coming down the pipe yet? And maybe Mark has, I don't know.
I have not. Paul?
No.
Paul has not?
I haven't heard anything, but it doesn't sound, that subject doesn't sound surprising just from kind of the general attitude that I know kind of exists in irrigation districts about cities consuming irrigation water.
Right.
I could see that being real. I haven't had specific reference to a lawsuit. I'm assuming you're talking about either the Boise Project or the Bureau of Reclamation is
project,
who you've spoken
yeah.
to, the Boise Project.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because there's kind of general discontent about how much water is used by cities and just even cities having municipal systems, and that kind of played out to some extent this year with one of the irrigation districts here, and we heard some of their thoughts on the existence of a municipal system.
Well, it was in great depth of they wanted to kill the open space going into subdivisions and make it all hardscaped and then claim that water, and I mean it was, I'm not sure what they were
down
on.
Down to taking water rights even.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I thought water rights stayed with the land. So how are they going to do that? But anyway, it might be coming. Heads up.
I've got a great proposal for them then.
That's all I had, man.
Question.
Yeah.
Mike, got a question for you. I'm kind of ignorant on this, but you made a comment about lot size. Yeah. Do R8... lot sizes use less water than R4? I mean, is there a regular number that you would use to justify that or say that?
Yeah, our connection fees and our assessment roll, all the calculations are derived on a 10,000 square foot lot. If you have and I'm not a planning and zoning guy, so don't yell at me, a 5,000 square foot lot and you put a 3,000 square foot home on there with RV parking and a driveway on there, there's no water.
That's grass.
So other than the HOA and the park and whatnot, you get in the area, the landscaping per lot is going down as we shrink that lot size.
Okay, thank you.
And then also for the record, we didn't have any protestants that I see, and there's no one in the audience, so I'm assuming there's no one protesting their assessment.
Good.
Any further questions for Mike? Thank you, sir. I appreciate you keeping up with that every year, and it's good. Every year it gets better, and certainly is challenging, but I appreciate your efforts on that.
Do we need a motion to close this out, ma'am?
Yeah.
Nope.
We'll need a motion to approve
the report.
Cuna Municipal Irrigation Rule as it stands, and have the city treasurer pay the underlying irrigation district assessments at before a time where said payments and checks can clear the underlying irrigation districts by April 1st of said irrigation year.
I didn't get to that one.
Public Works suggested motion.
Oh, it's right under that deal. My apologies.
There you go.
Okay, then if there's nothing further, I would move we approve the CUNA Municipal Irrigation Role as it stands to have the city treasurer pay the underlying irrigation district's assessment at or before the time where said payments checks can clear and underlying irrigation districts by April 1st of said irrigation year.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And then along with that in the packet, there were some teacup diagrams to show as of March 1st where the reservoirs stand and where we're at in the water year so far. But that seems to be getting better as we go along. Hopefully we'll be 100% in most of our areas, if not better. So, and that's all we have, unless somebody else has anything else or I missed something.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. This meeting is adjourned. All right. It is 6 o'clock. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Biggs.
Present.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Is there anything you want pulled for discussion or motions?
Seeing none, Mayor, I would move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any discussion on that motion? Chris, would you pull the council?
Councilmember Bruce.
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs.
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us right to public hearings. Item A, consideration to approve case number 2205 CPF and 2205 ZC Recreation Subdivision. Jessica Reed.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. The applicant's request to subdivide 415 North Locust Grove into two parcels with an R2 low-density residential zone and to rezone the west parcel to C3 service commercial. This combo plat would provide the applicants with the ability to utilize their uniquely shaped property at its highest and best use. The approximately 7-acre west parcel is to be used as an RV storage facility, and the applicants have received their special use permit and design review approvals from the commission on February 14, 2023. The approximately 3.58-acre, east parcel will contain the applicant's modern home as well as an original Cuna Homestead residence constructed in 1915. This original homestead once held a residence, feeder barn, rock barbecue, equipment shed, butler building, two loafing sheds, stable, normal other sheds, metal granaries, and outbuildings. As of today, the original residence has received an exterior facelift and new landscaping, which respected the two old growth evergreens planted when the parcel was homesteaded. The applicants have even taken great care to reclaim the lumber from the barn, which was taken down on the property, and use it as finishes within their modern home. After the receipt of the ACHD staff report, the applicants approached ACHD with a request to reduce the amount of additional right-of-way from the northeast property line, moving south just past the original homestead. This request was made as to preserve the two old-growth evergreens, landscaping that had been upgraded within the last few years, and to ensure a safe distance between the roadway and homestead residents. The applicants were referred back to staff to review. Based upon staff review, the site's special instance and additional information gathered from the Idaho State Historical Society, staff was in support of their request. Therefore, the commission approved the applicant's alternative compliance request to install an additional 7 feet of pavement to the southbound lane of Locust Grove, a 3-foot gravel shoulder, and 8-foot sidewalk within the existing 30 feet of right-of-way for approximately 200 feet moving south, then the right-of-way increasing to the full 39 feet that was requested by ACHD, as well as the full landscape buffer required by Cuna City Code. The existing driveway will also be closed as a new driveway will be installed on the south property line. In conclusion, and upon review, staff finds the applicant to be in compliance with Cuna City Code Title 5 and 6, Idaho Code 6765, and the comprehensive plan. Staff would recommend approval of the case 22-02-CPF and 22-05-ZC, with the applicants being subject to the conditions listed in Section 10 of the staff memo. And I will answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Troy, would you mind grabbing the second sheets? Questions for Jessica?
No, sir. Not right now.
No, okay. And is the applicant present?
Yes.
Sir. All right. I didn't have anybody sign in to testify in this matter. Is there anybody who wishes to that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Well, this is a public hearing, and we will open the floor for questions, comments, or if the applicant would like to add anything, can do so.
I believe they're over there. In the back, that's the applicant, right?
Yeah.
You're good?
Nothing. We can't have them this short. Come on, guys. Really? Okay, well, then if there is nothing to discuss, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
What
do you need?
Okay, we have a motion and a second. What do we...
So on the agenda, the case numbers show 2205 CPF and 2205 ZC. A correction to that, the combo plat, the CPF should be 22-02/CPF.
Okay. Well, being, I guess, familiar with the chunk of ground, I mean, and looking at the map as you saw, there's not a lot you can do with a piece of property shaped the way it is. It looks like they've come up with a good use for it. And
I like the fact that they're keeping the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched the progression of that, and it's been pretty cool. So
I'll have to drive by and check it out.
So we had a motion and a second. I'm sorry, I skipped over that.
Oh.
Is there any further discussion on the motion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Previous comments stand.
Right. Yeah, I think it looks like a good use for the property myself. Yeah. So.
Okay. Now, if there's nothing further, then I would move we approve case 22-02 CPF and 22-05 ZC with the conditions listed in the packet.
Second. Motion's made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. That takes us to item B, consideration to approve case number 2203ZC rezone, David Crawford with Centurion Engineers. And Troy, I started to read your whole thing, so I'll let you do that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, for the record, Troy Behunin, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, the Planning and Zoning Department. Just a small correction, David Crawford will not be here tonight to present, but Elizabeth Kukaritz. Is that how you say it?
Kekaritz.
Sorry. So the applicant requests a rezone for approximately 24.17 acres. This is the southwest corner of Hubbard and 10 Mile Road. The request is for a rezone only tonight. Future development will require additional applications and additional public hearings if the application warrants that. The applicant is proposing changing the current zone from C1 neighborhood commercial to the R20 high density residential zone. The future land use map calls for mixed uses on the southwest corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard. And additionally, the applicant was approved for a lot split in February of 2022. This rezoning will fulfill the mixed-use component designated on the future land use map. Staff has determined that the application generally complies with the goals and the policies for the City of CUNA and Title 5, Title 6 of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes, and also the future land use map or the comprehensive plan map. Staff recommends that if the council approves the rezone, that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 9 of the staff's memo, as well as any conditions that the council sees fit. This was recommended for approval by the commission, and I will stand for any questions that you have, and the applicant is present for tonight's meeting.
All right. Questions for Troy?
Not at this moment.
All right. And this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wished to testify in this matter or didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay, thank you. If the applicant wants to. And just state your name and address for the record, please.
I believe I sent it. Oh, thank you. Presentation.
There's a mouse right inside.
Okay. Is it going to be under the...
All
Applicant, I think. Going up? One more up. Applicant presentation.
Okay, time's up. Just kidding.
Oh, good. Good. You're all in favor. Okay, cool. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. My name's Elizabeth Kekeritz. I'm with Givens Pursley, 601 Bannock. With me tonight is Tim Eck, the property owner, and he'll be able to answer any questions you may have that I'm unable to answer. First, I want to start off by saying thanks to Troy and the rest of the planning staff on this project. This has been, I'll go into it just briefly, but it's been a kind of a long time in coming, well, at least since 2019, which in these days seems quite a, both really recent and a long time ago. We are here for a rezone of 24 acres from commercial to R20. We have reviewed the staff report and we are in full agreement with the conditions in it. Just so you have a better idea of the surrounding area and the background, some of the more recently approved subdivisions are located on this map across the street to the north of Sabino's Rocky Ridge. Adjacent are the Steiner parcels. They are also owned by the applicant, but no development applications have been brought forth on those yet. Next to that, Ewing Meadows, and then the Arroyo Vista development. This development really stems back from 2019. At that time, we were looking at coming forward and rezoning the entire parcel, all 40 acres, including the hard corner, C1, with the always the intention of this becoming this sort of multi-use development with commercial on the hard corner, multifamily behind it, and then moving into less dense residential as you travel to the west. However, while we were getting ready to do that, CUNA, you changed your city code so that you were no longer allowed to have any multifamily residential in the C1 zone. At that time, we worked with staff. We talked to them about what would be the best thing to do here. And it was decided to go ahead, get the property zone C1, do the lot line, the lot split, and so then, and then come forward in the future with the multifamily high density residential for the back 26 acres of this property. The front, the hard corner, has been sold. It has been sold to a commercial developer. And it does, there do appear to be plans for that parcel moving forward. And so now we are ready to proceed with the rezone of this new property. Looking at the future land use map, this rezone to R20, it really fulfills the intent of the mixed use designation by allowing the commercial on the hard corner and then transitioning through the site to the multifamily. And so it really allows for, in these sort of areas like this, for this development to occur where the individuals who will reside ultimately in this neighborhood will have a walkable neighborhood. They'll have some commercial on the corner there to live and shop at, to maybe get their groceries, to get gas, to for whatever comes up on that corner. It's really going to make this a really nice sort of mixed-use development in compliance with the comprehensive plan. The zoning, it's not fully been updated, just given the lag between approval of developments and when zonings gets finally approved. So quite a bit of this is not necessarily fully up to current uses. The development does align with the not just the future land use map, but also with the comprehensive plan. And goals, these are strategic locations such as 10 Mile Road, we'll have the hard commercial, then scaling back. We've learned over time that detached single family residences prefer to not be abutting right up against the hard corner, the more intensive commercial uses. This is a very complementary land use to the surrounding. It does create that transition between detached single family residential and the commercial. There's just a lot of places where this sort of rezone will align with the comprehensive plan. And then finally, one question that's been raised is the Arroyo Vista lift station, which would be used when this property is ultimately developed. At this time, it could be used for this property. It depends on when this does ultimately get developed. But the Arroyo Vista lift station is privately owned by the developer. It's for the Arroyo Vista development, the Steiner property, and this current property, the Bodal property. It has a 480 EDU capacity. This phase one of Arroyo Vista has been approved, but there are no other current pending land use applications, direct pending land use applications that would feed into the Arroyo Vista lift station. And so it really is our position at this time that we'd like to have the ability to allocate the EDUs between these three parcels, these three properties, as it becomes needed. And ultimately, all of the sewer capacity through this area will go through the Sabino's Rocky Ridge Regional Lift Station. The city staff recommended approval of the application. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the application. And at this point in time, we are requesting that City Council approve the rezone, which best fulfills the underlying land use goals in this area. As I mentioned, we are in full agreement with the staff report and conditions of approval. And I will stand for any questions.
Okay, questions, yes.
How much of 10 Mile is gonna be commercial? I know you said an owner has already come in and bought part of that hard corner, but how much of 10 Mile is gonna be continued to commercial, if do you know?
Beyond the parcel in question?
No, the parcel you have in front
on of the parcel in question, it would be, I mean, that's, if it's a 40, it would be that whole northern part going up from the blue line would be slated to be commercial. So quite a big chunk of that on both Hubbard and 10 Mile.
And where you propose the 20 unit development will be?
Pardon?
Where is the 20 unit?
Oh, and 20? Then the 20 unit development is on the, is on the back area. So the hard corner is all commercial. Okay. And then where the yellow star is, we're proposing that to be R20, which then transitions into the R6, into the other developments.
Okay, so the top right corner is all going to be commercial.
It's all going to be commercial, and it's been sold to a commercial developer.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Robbie Reno with the CUNA School District.
Robbie Reno, CUNA School District, 711 East Porter Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. This one's tricky for us because it transitions into an R20, which brings in a lot more kids, and it changes a commercial, which we know the tax base would help take the burden off our homeowners for taxes that support our schools and that we tax from the base. And so we're just in a tough position on this one. And so that's where we stand. And I stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Robbie.
All these kids that are going to live there are going to Silver Trails, right?
Those will be Hubbard. Or no, not sorry. Those will be Crimson Point.
Crimson Point. Okay.
Unless we redraw lines and do that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And so that's all I had to have signed up to testify. Was there anybody else who wishes to testify? All right, thank you. Did you wish to finish off with anything else?
Elizabeth Kekritz, 601 Bannock, for the applicant still. We I guess I would just like to say that this developer, Tim Eck, has worked really closely with the school district over a number of years, continues to look forward to partnering with them to trying to do the best thing for the schools. They have donated 3 school sites in the past, or there may be 2, and then we're currently working on another one for another elementary school with the school. And so we just look forward to continuing to partner with the school district, continuing to do what we can do, and contributing to the schools to make this work for everyone.
Okay. Any further questions? All right, thank you.
Troy, being that, I know this is a long shot, but I understand my logic, being that 10 Mile is being widened up to basically 4 lanes up north, I'm assuming, what have the ACHD required any major setbacks on this for that future development of 4 lanes for us?
So that's a good question for the record, Troy Buchanan, Senior Planner. That's a very good question. If you recall, Sabino's Rocky Ridge recently came before the City Council. I believe that's something that we can expect to happen with future development at this site. For the rezone for this particular project in front of you tonight, ACHD does not have any requirements for right-of-way dedication because there's no development. That dedication, that requirement for widening the road will come with future development, but it would be... it would be very logical to expect the same kind of right-of-way dedication that Sabino's went through, which is this is a major arterial. So at some point, this will be a 5-lane, possibly a 5-lane road, but I believe they're planning for 4. But
okay, thank you.
Troy, is it still Public Works still stands by that they cannot support the approval due to the 338 EUs? They would need.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Troy.
That was my best Paul impression.
Yes, Paul.
Mayor and Council, this is Paul, 751 4th Street. I think I did hear something in there of an explanation of how they're going to try and take some of this flow to Sabino's Ridge Regional Lift Station that is not built yet. So we probably need to work out some sort of a plan to make this work, because right now the preliminary engineering report for Arroyo Vista Lift Station does not have enough capacity just for the R20 alone. So that's why we're having a little bit of unhinging here. And Tim's always been great to work with and so on. It's just the math doesn't work very well, unless there's some magic math that I'm not aware of.
I thought you were always nervous about magical math.
Yeah.
Paul, what, may I?
Yes.
What's the timeline on that lift station? You said it's not built yet, is it?
I don't know, Chris. It's going to be market driven. When Sabino's goes, then they'll build the lift station. So right now, I think a lot of this stuff's maybe not canceled or anything, but not moving as it was. So it's going to be market driven. So there really isn't a specific timeline.
Thank you.
And then just as a reminder, building permits are not issued if there's not capacity to connect to. So just like throw that out to you.
More question.
Yeah.
Once it is built, like you said, you're not going to issue the permits if it's not available. Once the lift station's built, anyone who you've already allocated those connections to, is it first come, first serve, or does it go by who was allocated first? You understand what I'm saying? So if there's a neighborhood that we've already said yes, once it's built, we can connect, but say a developer's ahead of that, would they get the connections first, or...
In this case, I don't think that's going to happen, but normally if we dedicate something to people, we keep our word.
They're in line first.
Yeah, so in this case, the Arroyo Vista lift station, as was correctly stated, it's going to be their own private lift station, and it has capacity for Arroyo Vista at the previous density that they asked for. And I believe it has capacity also for the Bordol and Steiner properties. But once you put the R20 on there, it does not have capacity. So there's going to have to be some sort of compromise or a way to get that.
Thank you.
Mr. Reno, I'd like to ask a question. What's your current projected impact to the, I guess, to
Silver
Trail, Crimson Point?
Crimson Point.
Crimson Point.
Crimson Point, and then also middle school and then high school.
We don't know because we don't know if they're building all of the R20, or if they're doing what they're transitioning. We don't know how many units are on this plan. We don't have a preliminary plat. We don't know, so we can't calculate that.
So if I understand, is it 483 units? About? I thought I read the interview. I'm not too wrong.
483, yeah.
So 483 times, what's the figure that we usually use for
We just
2.5?
No, we just 480 what?
483.
83. We just updated our numbers, and it's 0.45. 217 students, and so an impact. You know, we kind of break it up. We try to get better at our numbers as far as how many go to. And it's, no, we don't have too many R20s to know how many go to middle school, how many go to high school, how many go to elementary.
Right.
So, but it would be a total of 217, roughly.
And how close is Crimson
Point?
It's been over, yeah, Crimson Point. Off the top of my head, I know several of them are close to 100 or
Crimson
more.
Points. You know, because if you look on that map on that zone, Crimson Point is heavy. Everything that's been approved in there, if it gets going, it's going. One positive: we pass our bond next Tuesday. We will build an elementary. On a property, and that'll help. We'll have to redraw lines, and so that could add additional capacity there.
High school is still over capacity, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
But that bond will add on to the high school too. Right. So.
Mr. Mayor, if yes. I might just for a little bit of elaboration, Doug Hansen, Planning and Zoning Director. That would be the number of units if you were to take every single acre on the property, but generally with right-of-way dedication and open space requirements, you can really only ever obtain 65 to 75% of the units to where if you were looking at putting them on every single space on the acreage.
So give or take 375 to 400 then maybe.
It's really impossible to tell without actually looking at it, but yeah, you could probably think about 75% of whatever that number would be calculated.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to step up to the mic and state your name and address for the record.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Tim Eck. I am the applicant. I live at 6357 Buena Vista Lane in Star, Idaho. That's why I was late. We're very, very intimately aware of the sewer capacity and the capacity of the Arroyo Vista lift station. When we put that lift station in, we sized it for a blended use of Arroyo Vista, which is a three-phase project, to be able to supply capacity to the Steiner property and the Bodal parcel. Of course, change to R20 does increase the density. I think they, I'm not sure how many EDUs they had originally planned for that piece, but we recognize that we got a limitation on sewer capacity. And if this project's approved, by the time it gets started, developed, and products start being built on it and built out over time, we have to pace ourselves. And if that means that we defer the Steiner property and not even start it, and because this one's ahead of it, when we run out of capacity, we know we can't get any more permits, we won't move forward with any more phase of development on these projects. But when the Sabino's Rocky Ridge does move forward and they build their lift station, at that time the Arroyo Vista lift station comes offline and it all gravities into the Steiner Regional, which are the Sabino's Regional, which then opens up significant capacity. So we understand the capacity, and we know that we could possibly hit a point where we can't proceed with any more building permit applications, and we're fine with that. It'll take a long time to burn up 480 connections on those three parcels. Okay. Stand for any questions?
Questions for Tim?
No.
No, sir.
And as he said, we'll never get 20 an acre on every acre out there. It's probably closer to 15, if we're lucky. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I got a question for Mr. Reno.
Yes.
With the development going on and, you know, the bond going whichever way it's going to go, is the school district reconsidering rezoning, redesigning areas? Because to me, this property we're talking about is just as close to Silver Trails as it is to Crimson.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. That'll be one of the tasks that we'll have to do is when we build the additional elementary school, we will have to redraw lines, and that'll be a process that we will do. Just like when we added the second middle school, we redrew lines. When we added Silver Trail, we redrew lines. And so it'll be a process that we will need to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions?
No, sir.
Okay, then. Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
Well, what's your thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, by going to the comp plan, I know Doug and I have, he gave me a lesson on this months ago. This major corridor is going to be a lot of mixed use. We already have apartment complexes at Deer Flat and 10 Mile, and probably there are going to be more as it grows towards the north. That's why I was having the question about the widening of 10 Mile, because it is going to bring more traffic. But other than Highway 69, 10 Mile is probably the only other road plan that would support this type of growth. And I've always said, if we don't try to control where we put these developments, it'll start controlling us. So I don't see a negative part about it. I'm not a big R20 guy, but I understand the need for the citizens and for the community. The development is bringing in some commercial, which is a big positive. And the sewer system, it seems like it's already been worked out. That's about all I have on it, my thoughts.
And in other discussions, it really had nothing to do with this development, but in talking with ACHD about right-of-ways and that, it sounded as if they had a plan within, and that could change, of course, but in the next 5 years of doing some major improvements on 10 miles. So that's a possibility, and it sounds like that's what they're moving towards. But again, that's not really official. It's just in other talks when we're talking through right-of-ways and things like that that was mentioned. So,
because why not? 10 Mile needs to be under construction again.
It needs to be every year. Under construction.
Right. Be a lot of eminent domain this time, I'll probably involved.
For that.
Well, I would imagine a lot of that has to do with development. They're going to preserve right-of-ways everywhere they can. So.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, obviously that corridor already has some. I'd be more open to it if we had an idea of the lift station, but we're approving developments and we don't even know when there'll be a lift station. You know, so for me, if we had more of a plan, but now it's like we're saying yes to these things, but we have no idea when there'll be any sewer, when it'll come, if it'll come.
Well, if it doesn't come, they won't build, right?
But so we have more control over rezones and annexations. That's what we've always talked about.
So a whole bunch of undeveloped land, if we can. I worry if the bond fails. Bond fails, we're going to be really stuck. It's failed before. Was it 3 years? No, 3 or 4 years ago? They had to pass the emergency.
Think positive. Think positive.
Well, I'll try to.
Well, to your point, Mr. Bruce, the one thing is you're right. That's where we control it is the annexation and zoning. And we're zoning it at this, but they still can't do anything with it till there's the sewer. So it's going to be this inevitably, I guess maybe is the wrong word, but that's their plan. So at this point, it's just a zone change to do that, not actually start on it because they know they don't. I mean, they could start one phase, but that would be about it based on their EDU count. So,
well, it was originally zoned C1 with the intention of the neighborhood type commercial,
neighborhood,
but then
yeah.
When that changed, then
right.
They have to do this to bring it into compliance. So,
right.
In essence, putting it back where it was before the ordinance change, for the most part.
I tend to leave it towards the experts of Paul's group and Public Works, and if they can't support with all of these other adjustments and management of their own, I guess, their own properties. But it's interesting, it made it through planning and zoning without Public Works support. That's the first time I've seen that. I haven't been here very long, but it's the first time I've seen that Public Works cannot support approval. And it made it here. They know more, a lot more about sewers than I do.
Well, but at this point, we're just approving the zone change, and then they would have to come back do anything else, and they would need support again. So, I mean, really all we're doing, like the mayor said, is putting it back to what it was after we changed the zoning ordinance from C1 commercial to the R20 2 years ago or whenever that was. Can't even remember.
I don't have anything else.
Nothing else?
No, sir.
John, anything else?
No, I have to have faith that Paul knows that we can do it or not. I mean, he's the ultimate turn valve on this.
Yeah.
If this system can handle the growth, and he's saying yes, they can.
No, he said
or if
no,
they can't,
can.
They won't build it.
Yeah, he said no, they can't.
I have to trust the process.
Okay. Well, we closed the public hearing part. I'm sorry. But basically what you were saying was that they're not going to send out any building permits if you can't serve it. So that's kind of the gist of it. But there also can be a plan in place to make it serviceable.
Okay. With that, let me get on the right page here. let's see. If there's no further, then I, Mayor, would have moved that we... Oh, wrong one. Sorry. I would move that we approve case 2203ZC with the conditions listed in the packet.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded for approval for case number 2203ZC. So, is there any further discussion on the motion?
So we're just approving stuff to approve it, even though we have no plan for sewer? I mean...
Well, we do have a plan.
We have no idea when it's going to be built. We don't have a plan.
We do.
That's what he said.
They can't build it until we have the system to support it.
So do we feel we have to say yes to everything that comes through here?
No, but it was already zoned this. We changed the ordinance from...
I get it. I get it.
So all this is a formality to get it back to what it was. We're not adding or taking away from it. It's putting the zoning back... Where it was before we changed the way it read in policy. That's all this really is. I mean.
So help the new guy out. So it was R20 before?
No, it was commercial, right?
It was
C1. C1 neighborhood commercial. So that's
what we zoned
in the commercial zone, in that zone, you could build fourplexes then. So commercial residential. But we changed that because that was confusing. Commercial is now commercial, and residential is now residential. So that's why the R ratings on residential and the C ratings on commercial.
And the difference in capacity between C1 and R20, what's the capacity of neighborhood or C1?
I think it's about the same.
145, I think, is what we originally.
Well, that's R6 you're looking at there.
Right. So it is, it is considerably different, the size or the density is the size of what it originally was.
No, they're just talking about the sewer system originally when they first put everything, they just figured that all of CUNA was always going to be R6.
Okay.
Some of it's more, some of it's less, and so they figured that
as an average
capacity. So in this case, if you figured every acre in the city of CUNA at R6, and that's what they designed that system out there to run, those numbers supposedly would work out, and then some. So, and obviously not everything's going to be R6. So that's kind of what that's talking about.
Okay. That makes sense.
Than what this used to be zoned at.
We have a motion and a second.
Right. Yes, we have a motion and a second, and was asking for any further discussion.
So. I'm good.
Anything further? All right, we had a motion and a second to approve case 2203ZC. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Would you do roll on that?
Councilmember Bruce?
No.
Councilmember Biggs?
No.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Mayor Sear, we have a tie.
I will vote yes. So that motion carries. All right. ABA. Consideration to approve case number 2214-S, pre-plat, Boise Basin Development, LLC. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, senior planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. The application before you this evening is a request for preliminary plat approval in order to subdivide approximately 22.28 acres into 88 total lots, which is configured to 72 single family lots, 14 common lots, and 2 common driveway lots. This property is already in the city of CUNA. The applicant proposes approximately 3.42 acres, or 15.35% of the project, as open space, with a gross density proposed at 3.23 dwelling units per acre. The net density is proposed at 3.75 dwelling units per acre. Public Works can conditionally support the Griffin's Point subdivision with conditions of that support listed in Section 5 of the engineer's memo. The Planning and Zoning Department agrees with the Public Works recommendations and their conditions. The applicant proposes 2 private driveways for a cluster of 2 and 3 lots within the project. Staff has recommended that the applicant be conditioned to work with the city engineer for proper easement widths for the project as a whole, and in particular, these clustered homes served by private driveways. Staff has reviewed the proposed preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code, compliance with Title 5 and Title 6 of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. And should the council approve the preliminary plat, staff recommends that the applicant be subject to the recommended conditions of approval outlined in Sections 9 and 10. The applicant is present tonight, and they do have a presentation. And I would state also that the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval.
Okay. Questions for Troy?
Not yet.
Okay. Thank you. And if the applicant would like to step forward. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign in to testify who wishes to? Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Floor, sir. Chase Craig, 5055 East CUNA Road, CUNA, Idaho. And I just want to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and City Council, and staff, and obviously the Planning and Zoning Commission as well. It's been a long road, and we are excited to be in front of you here tonight. So this is the team. Tim from Kimley Horn is here with me tonight as well. He might be able to answer your difficult questions that I can't. So before you tonight, we're just to remind you, we're already annexed. We're already rezoned. We've worked closely. I'll kind of show you the path that we've taken here. We started initial meeting began in June of 2021 for the annexation and rezone. You can kind of see the progression there. We got the annexation and rezone roughly a year ago. And then we started our neighborhood meeting for this application back in May of 2022. And we saw planning and zoning in November. And we're, like I said, excited to be here this evening. So you can see where we're located, just near the corner of Eagle Road and CUNA Road. We've got roughly 22.27 acres there. We are zoned. It's medium density residential there, which is R4 to R8. We're going in as a R4 project, and you heard the net density is actually less than 4 per acre. Just wanted to point out here on the plat map itself, the 2 accesses, and Tim might be able to answer this a little bit better than I can, but ACHD does not allow us to actually have 2 dedicated entries. So until there is some sort of outlet in the future, we need to have this emergency access, which I know is not necessarily ideal for fire. This is just the only way to make this work until we get other access, which you can see on the bottom here. We'll be connecting to the property to our east, which would be the Markovitz property. Another thing to point out here, I think we have a better looking plat, right? So here's our phasing, phase one and two. I wanted to point out this plat. We really wanted to make a point to have a great amenity for the neighbors and any surrounding neighbors with a walking path around the entire project. It is a really pretty property. There's water to the west and to the south. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that there was basically somewhere for people to go get their dogs out or get out of the house or et cetera. All right. I'm going to go to my notes here real quick. So as I mentioned, we're already zoned and annexed. We do have water rights for irrigation for 22 acres, and obviously whatever doesn't get used will be donated to the city to do whatever they need to with it. We've had some great meetings with the neighbors on our specific project, and I think we brought a plan forward that everyone seems to be, you know, relatively as excited about, as excited as you can be with change happening near you. There are some water improvements that are needed in Cuna Road. We've been working with Public Works, and you know, we're still committed to working on the appropriate solution. We were a little surprised that out in front of Cuna Road, we didn't actually have the water pressure there to support the community. And so in working with Public Works, there's a couple potential solutions, and we have, you know, we're a piece of the puzzle, as we've talked about. You know, when you approve this plat tonight, it will be a lot easier for us to take the appropriate steps going forward to work with the city on the potential solutions. We've got three or four solutions that we've talked about. They do require time and money, and if we're not approved, then it, you know, it doesn't really make a ton of sense to put that time and money into it. And just to further iterate, similar to the last project, although not nearly as much of a connection, at least, we wouldn't be able to build until we get that solved. We, you know, work closely with the school district and have their support. Something I'd want to mention out in CUNA, not sure how closely you guys follow the market, but currently there's only 1 month of supply in CUNA, meaning if we had no new homes come on the market in the next 30 days, there would be zero homes for sale. There's currently only 75 homes on the market total. That's new and resale. And the median sales price is $570,000. The average sales price is $670,000. So we do have a housing shortage, and it's not debatable. You know, so every project that we can bring forward, in particular this one being lower density, we're pretty excited to bring a project forward that maybe doesn't take as much of the resources of the community. So in conclusion, we got a low density project that's been recommended to be approved by staff and planning and zoning. And yeah, I guess I'll stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Chase?
No, I have none. Thank you, Chase.
No, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You guys have worked hard on this one.
And we did have three people sign up in opposition but didn't wish to testify, so just stating that for the record. And one more time, was there anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay, thank you. Question is rightfully before council.
Did they make a note anywhere of what their opposition was, or is just in opposition?
No, it's just signed up not to testify.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
I have a question for planning and zoning. Isn't the property to the directly to the east also all four?
For the record, Troy B. Hunan. If you look at the staff report, directly east It's a mix of R4 and RR, which is the county designation.
Okay.
But R4 is in the city, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have nothing. Mr. Biggs?
I'm good.
Okay. I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Well, I like that pathway all around it. That's kind of cool.
Yep, it has some points to it, shining points.
And it's also nice to see the lower density of homes out that direction.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, kind of way out there for a subdivision, but it's right in the path of the trunk line from Falcon Crest, so it hooks good and looks like they've done some work with the neighbors to stay somewhat out of hot water with them, so that's always a bonus.
Nothing. Anything? Nope, no, I'm good.
Blairway, good. Okay. Okay, then with that, I would move we approve case number 22-14S with the conditions listed in the packet.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. That takes us to business items. Consideration to approve case number 23-01-TE. It's a time extension for Ardell Estates Subdivision. Jessica Reed.
Hello again, Mayor and Councilman. For the record, Associate Planner Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The applicant requests a time extension for the Ardell Estates Subdivision Number 6 final plat due to a nationwide shortage in building materials, limited availability of contractors, increased mortgage interest rates, and extensive agency processing times. Staff notes the applicant has requested a two-year extension. However, per CUNA City Code 623J2, only a one-year time extension is permitted for final plats that are part of a phase project. Upon review, staff finds the request to be in compliance with CUNA City Code Title 6 and Idaho Code 6765 and would recommend council approve case number 23-01-TE with the applicant subject to conditions listed in Section 6 of staff's memo. Thank you, and I will answer any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Jessica?
No. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Pretty straightforward time extension. We do them all the time. So I would move we approve case number 23-01-TE with the conditions listed in the packet.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B is a finance update for quarter one of fiscal year 2023. Jared Empey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jared Empey, City Treasurer. I just wanted to give the council an update on our Q1 results. I wanted to wait until we got the audit for last fiscal year to really dive into this fiscal year. And so with that, if you want to start off with the cash report, so as you can see that we have about $66 million under city management. And the important items to note on this report is that we currently have $37-38 million as of December 31st at the state LGIP fund. That's essentially a high-yield savings account that cities can utilize. It's currently earning about 3.66%, which is pretty good considering in the past we were getting much lower. In the past, a historical high mark was about 2%, so that's pretty good for a high-yield savings account. However, the other item is that we have certificates of deposit with ICCU of about $20 million that come due in April. That was anticipated and expected. The plan with that is to roll those into some new CDs that will drastically increase the yield on those. The yield on those currently is 1.5. However, they'll be rolled into CDs that are earning more than 5%. So that'll drastically increase our interest revenue. And then the idea is to take some money that we currently have at the LGIP of that $37-38 million and move some of those into either U.S. Treasuries or additional CDs to take advantage of the current high savings rates that are available. That said, the next few pages outline line item by line item for how we're doing on the budget. Kind of a main theme that you'll notice is that essentially building permit activity is coming in lower than expected. However, I wouldn't say that it's drastically lower. That said, as you can see, the main funds that will be definitely impacted by lower building permit revenue will be the Latecomers Fund, which is Fund 5. That's because that fund is exclusively funded by building permits. And so with that one, I don't think it'll affect any repayment to developers. It'll just mean that the fund doesn't build up as fast as it had in the past. That said, another point that I'd like to make in regards to how we're doing on the budget is that I've started doing some projections as to how we'll kind of do for the year. And basically what I'm determining is this fiscal year will probably turn out about like how 2018 did. That said, we're kind of on pace now to make where 2018 did, where we had about $752,000 in building permit revenue in 2018. I project that we'll be about $757,000. That's because pretty much trends are pretty consistent. Once we make it through February and even March, you can pretty much tell exactly where certain line items are going to go. And if I had to project out, my guess is on the building permit revenue line alone, which is line item 4360, we'll be about $80,000 under what we had budgeted, which probably means that when you take into consideration all of the building permit activity for the general fund, which is the one that I'm most most concerned about, we'll probably be anywhere between probably $150,000 to $225,000 under budget. However, even though that might sound concerning, it's important to also look at other revenue streams. So, for instance, our sales tax, if you project out kind of where we're looking for that, it looks like we'll probably be north of $600,000 above what we had budgeted for. And in interest, due to the increasing interest rates that we're seeing, due to the many interest rate increases that we've seen from the Fed, we'll probably be $500,000 above budget for interest. Property tax will probably stay the same. Surprisingly, you'd think that your raw number for how much you did not collect from sales tax would go up as your property tax base goes up. However, what I'm finding is if you levy, let's say, $4 million, you would expect about $50,000 to not be collected at the end of the year. However, what I'm finding is it almost like doesn't matter how much you levy, that amount that you don't collect at the end of the year stays about the same. So, in other words, what I'm saying is property tax will probably come in pretty much exactly where it should, even though people's budgets are starting to get pinched a little bit due to inflation. So even though we're seeing some reductions in building permit revenue, I think that we'll be just fine in the general fund due to some other mitigating factors. Also, the proprietary fund looks really good for the fixed income revenue streams, such as water revenue and sales. That'll be about 5% above budget. Sewer will be about 8 or 9% above budget, and irrigation will be pretty much dead on. So with that, I think that the fund seems stable, and I'm not terribly concerned, even though certain line items might see some variance. But I think overall, I think that we'll be okay. I stand for any questions, if there are any.
Okay, questions for Jared?
No, sir.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jared.
I appreciate that very much. Jared's done a great job of watching and keeping a good eye on that so that we always know where we're at. And
can you believe those CDs, how much the interest rate changed? That's a lot. Even two-year treasury bills, the interest is.
All right.
Now it's time for Reading with Joe.
It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. All right, ordinances. Consideration to approve Ordinance 2023-11, an ordinance of the City Council of CUNA, Idaho, amending Section 2 of Chapter 3 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, adding a definition for owner of record, and amending Section 10 of Chapter 3 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, by adding two subsections and making technical corrections, providing a city of CUNA Police Department impact fee refunds to be paid to the owner of record, providing that the administrator is the decision maker, CUNA Police Department impact fee will be refunds, providing a refund the fee was paid in error, providing time frames for when a refund shall be paid after it's determined to be due, providing that a refund will be not paid until any appeal to the City Council is concluded or the time for appeal has passed, and amending Section 12 of Chapter 3 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, by making technical corrections and changing the subsection lettering for providing that an owner of record may appeal a refund determination, and making the multiple language additions two subsections to define how an owner of record may participate in the appeal and mediation process, and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date. And this is just a cleanup of ordinance to gives us a path forward if that ever comes up. Mark, you may go ahead.
Yeah, if there's questions, I can answer it. There's a reason these were done, and I'd be happy to offer that. Unless nobody wants it, I'll shut up.
Actually, I was asking earlier if you could explain it.
Okay. So, Mark Bybee, city attorney. What happened is last year there was basically impact fees that were paid in error by a developer, and then they came back and sought a refund of those impact fees, and it revealed kind of an issue where our impact fee ordinances and code sections provided that refunds would go to the fee payer as opposed to the owner of record. And if you think about it, impact fees are, yes, they're the fee payer, the developer pays them, but then they sell the house. And if they come 2 years down the road and after selling the house and demand a fee refund, it's kind of problematic because they very likely, I'd be shocked if they're not building the impact fee into the price of the house, and thereby why would it go to them and to the fee payer as opposed to the current owner of record. And that kind of came up, and we had to sort through that and the way the code was worded, and it was also inconsistent with state code because the state code talks about refunds to the owner of record. And so this is kind of bringing it into compliance with that, dealing with this language about fee payer, and then just some procedural stuff that came up as we went through the process. You'll see three different ordinances that sound very similar back to back, and it's because we have a code about police impact fees. We have one about park impact fees. Those ones are going to read very similarly. They're almost identical, but they're just talking about the different fees and capital improvement plans. The fire one involves the fire district. So it looks a little bit different procedurally. You'll see there's stuff added about the procedure for an appeal process because those fees go to the fire district. We collect them and remit them to the fire district. They actually administer those fees. And so the initial, if an appeal was made, a decision needed to be made, it's made at the fire district level with an option that an appeal still could come to the city council since it's happening under city's ordinance. So we had to build in that kind of caveat to not, because the one we dealt with was a fire district fee refund issue. And when we got into that, it had some, the code as written just had some weird language that we really had to kind of to work on to make it work in the situation. And basically what we did the last time, we're trying to codify it now to make it run smoother. It's one of those things after you get an appeal, you realize our code could be worded better, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. So I don't think this is something we need to have a third reading on. I think we can.
I wouldn't want you to read that one more time. We still got two more. No way.
It's not like the one that Cardoza made me do 30 readings on, which is about 12 pages long.
Yeah. I would move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2023-11.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries.
I would move we approve Ordinance 2023-11.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And the motion carries.
I would move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2023-11.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve Ordinance 2023-12. An ordinance of the City Council of CUNA, Idaho, amending Section 2 of Chapter 20 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, amending the definition for owner of record, and amending Section 10 of Chapter 2 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, by adding two subsections and making technical corrections, providing that all CUNA Rural Fire District impact fee refunds must be paid to the owner of record, providing that the administrator is a decision maker, providing a refund if the fee was paid in error, providing time frames for when a refund shall be paid after it is determined to be due, providing that a refund will not be paid until any appeal to the City Council is concluded or the time for appeal has passed, and amending Section 13 of Chapter 2 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, by making technical corrections and changing the subsection lettering, providing that an owner of record may appeal a refund determination to the Board of Commissioners, adding language providing information on the record of proceedings, subsequent appeal to the City Council, and City Council decision, and making multiple language additions to subsections to define how owner of record may participate in the appeal and mediation process, and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date. Obviously the same, but for fire.
No questions? Okay. I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2023-12.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
I would move we approve ordinance 2023-12.
Second it.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And summary publication.
And I would move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2023-12.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Item C, consideration to approve ordinance 2023-13. An ordinance of the City Council of CUNA, Idaho, amending Section 2, Chapter 1, Title 1 of CUNA City Code by adding definition for owner of record, and amending Section 7 of Chapter 1 of Title 12 CUNA City Code by adding two subsections and making technical corrections, multiple subsections, providing development impact fee refunds be paid to the owner of record, providing that the impact fee administrator is the decision maker on development impact fee refunds, provides a refund when a fee is paid in error, providing that a development impact shall be refunded within 8 years after the date on which the fee was paid, providing that the city may hold development impact fees for up to 11 years in certain circumstance, providing time frames for when a refund shall be paid after it is determined to be due, providing that a refund will not be paid until any appeal to the City Council is concluded or the time for appeal has passed, and amending Section 11 of Chapter 1 of Title 12 CUNA City Code by making the technical corrections and changing the subsection lettering, providing that an owner of record refund determination and making multiple language additions to subsections to define how an owner of record may participate in the appeal and mediation process, and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date.
Another tongue twister. I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2023-13.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2023-13.
Seconded.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes. I would move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2023-13.
Motion's made and seconded to approve summary publication. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. And with that, my mother-in-law is having some problems and I need to get home, so... If anybody wishes to make any announcements, you may do that.
I'll be gone next meeting, just so y'all know. I did let Chris know a while back, but...
You didn't tell me.
Oh, well.
You. Chris.
The other Chris. The important Chris, okay? The one that needs to know. You don't need to know. That's all right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.